podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Baby mama's mama. Yeah, go like this.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt, joined by my brother,
Jeremy J.N. Phoenix in the building.
We are the Raspy Voice Kids. You are now tuned in to the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. This is Pop Culture.
Hit you with that pop.
And we're coming back at you with another episode of Am I the Apple? Jeremy, we got something for the people today. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Ready for you to start talking, baby. You hesitated. I was ready for you, son.
Am I the apple for turning around and walking out of the restaurant after seeing my boyfriend's two-year-old son there? So I met this guy 5 months ago. He's really sweet and loving. He has a two-year-old kid with his baby mama, which is kind of dumb because who else would it be with? Right, Jeremy?
Yep.
She says, the problem is that whenever we plan on going out on a date, Will's baby mama would call and demand he take their son to stay with him. They never married, so there's no legal custody arrangements in place. Every time we plan to go out, she'd call and demand that Will come pick their son up to stay with him for hours, resulting in our plans being canceled. I told him his baby mama has been doing this deliberately. He said he noticed too, but cannot tell her no, because if he refuses to take their son, she'd not allow him to see him for a whole month as a punishment. I told him he has to put an end to this because it's affecting how our relationship is progressing, and he said he'll try. Last week, he invited me out for dinner at the restaurant. I was excited because he told me he was already at the restaurant, so I thought his baby mama doesn't know, so she won't wreck our plans. I got dressed nicely and did my hair and just took care of myself really well, really good, looking forward to some quality time together. However, when I arrived at the restaurant, I saw Will and his son there. I felt rage and disappointment washing over me. Will saw me and waved me to come closer, but I turned around and walked out. He followed me outside trying to explain, but I decided to go home and the date was obviously canceled. Later, he texted explaining that his baby mama did it again. He said he didn't know how she figured out we were going out and demanded that he take their son for the night. He said he didn't want to be punished, but neither wanted to cancel our date. So he brought his son to the restaurant, and I was wrong to turn around and walk out. I told him I was sick of this woman dictating our life and being intentionally hurtful. But he said I ruined our night after he tried to compromise, and he didn't appreciate that. Maybe I did, but I just wanted a quiet dinner for us both, and I'm disappointed that he once again let his baby mama bully him into doing what she wanted. But am I the apple? What do you think, Jeremy?
Wow, that's a lot. I had one feeling, then I had another feeling. And the truth is, at first I was feeling like, this is this kid's son. This is the man's son. His significant other is clearly being difficult. This is not him. And this is what you signed up for, because you knew what you signed up for and how it was going. But on the flip side, sometimes you just get tired of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had a friend who showed up to help his dad move. His dad said there's a bunch of people. When he showed up, his pops had nobody but him and the son who showed up. And the son told me, he's like, I heard what he said. And when he said there was nobody else who showed up, I got my car and went home. Because that's not what I signed up for. So on that date, she showed up thinking it was one thing. And in the end, it turned out being another thing. So if the relationship is over, I see you leaving. Like, if you've decided
bingo,
it's too much for you.
Bingo, bingo.
If it's too much for you, I see you leaving. But if you decide that somehow you want to be with this guy and this is just a I'm mad thing, don't play games. Don't leave. Look, that's it. Because if I'm the dude, that's it. You showed me. You showed me what it's going to be like. Hey, you know what kind of position? I'm in a rock, in between a rock and a hard place, and you're not down to ride, which is fine. That's your choice. But after you turn around and leave, don't try to come back.
Break out or be down, baby doll, right? Break out or be clown, baby doll. Are you down? That's what Tupac
step
said,
up,
right?
Step up.
Round That's my round, whole thing. So either you're going to be... Either you're going to be in or you're going to be out. That's how I feel about this whole situation. She knew what she was involved with. She's been dealing with this for an extended period of time. She could have seen the child with the father, met him and explained that this was not ideal, but that she had agreed to come on the date so she would finish the date, but this would be the last date. Or she could walk out and say, I'm done. But she can't come back later. Because, like you said, she showed her true colors. I just feel like she is the apple. The man's doing the best he can. He's being a good father. Know,
is he, though? Brandon, as I think about this, if you were really interested in a woman and you knew that this had the potential to break you apart, would you do something on your end that could mess this up? How is the ex finding out?
That's a good question. How is the ex finding out?
Ships. I doubt this girlfriend, if she really wanted to go on this date, was talking about it. And then they had mutual friends. Somehow Callie got around. Somehow, I almost feel like this is a play from homeboy to make homegirl jealous. I don't know. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just saying, if you're homeboy, it doesn't leak from your side of the ship.
It can't. You just can't let that happen.
And the only way there is... to have a secret between three people if two of them are dead.
Yeah, bingo. This is such an interesting situation, though, because I feel like this is happening more and more in society because there's more and more couples that are not together who are raising children together. And so, obviously, there's going to be people dating under these scenarios, and it's going to be a struggle to make everything work because there's a lot of moving parts. So it's an interesting one, but I'm going with she is the apple. I don't like her attitude. That's my opinion.
You go with she's the apple, and the truth is the first one I go with, I don't know. I need more information. Because how did the ex find out?
You're going to cop out. You're not going to pick one?
I need to find out how the ex found out. Because if the ex found out from like her mutual friends, then I'll say she's the apple. If the ex found out because he was low-key trying to make jealousy, you know, then he's the apple, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true, but I'm just going with my gut. My gut says she's the apple.
Well, let us know. Let us know. Let us know how you feel. This is a good one. This is a really good one. Get at us on Twitter. Holla at your boys, the RVK.
Rack me, boys!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boy Brandon Phoenix, aka I Also Hate Pit, here to tell you about our new partner, Home Field Apparel. The big thing about Home Field Apparel is they have the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel, t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, more than 100 schools available, and new ones added all the time. Now, of course, if you're listening to this, you're probably a Mountaineer fan. You'll be happy to know they have plenty of WVU clothing, not like everything else you find everywhere else. This is very specific and unique to Home Field. You need to check them out. It is fantastic. If you use our promo code RASPY12, RASPY12, you get 15% off your first order. All orders over $100 get free shipping. So make sure you go to Home Field Apparel, check them out, buy their clothes, and use code RASPY12.
Basketball season is finally here, Big 12 fans. And for your home for men's and women's basketball, come to Midwest Madness. We are doing game coverages, going over game analysis, different rankings of teams, and consistently looking at the best matchups in the conference. You're not going to want to miss out on all the amazing basketball coverage we have, so go check out Midwest Madness, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Creep on in, on in.
See, I'm riding high.
Kinda broke this evening, y'all. So all I got is five. I got five.
I got five on it. Real gutter, real hood, real trill.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, no, I don't know. You know, I was trying to come up with something new. It didn't really work. That's all right. I take them country roads home. It's Jeremy J. N. Phoenix. I'm here with my brother. I also hate Pitt, also known as Brandon Phoenix. He's in the building, in the booth. We have five questions. And we are so ready to give you our five answers. All right, Jordan, hit us up.
And we're back with another edition of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm your host, Jordan, and let's get things started with the first blank. West Virginia blank make the big dance in March.
Will not. There are too many tough games left. And West Virginia has shown a knack for losing these tough games as opposed to winning them when it matters. West Virginia will not make the big dance. Not because they're a bad team, but because they're just not good enough.
Nine games left to, I feel like, to get in, to honestly be assured that we're in. We're going to have to go 6-3. That will not happen. So I'm with you, Brandon. West Virginia will not make the tournament this year.
Number two. The Big 12 refs had blank to do with the second Baylor loss.
The Big 12 refs, John Higgins with his highlights included, had a little to do with the loss to Baylor. Now, a lot of people will look at it and say, we got out-rebounded, and we did. But why did we get out-rebounded? Was it because they were pushing the back, because they were grabbing us and holding us? The answer is yes. Bobby Huggins will tell you the answer is yes. And the fact of the matter is, we could have overcome that if Tash Sherman had not gotten punched in the face, which happens. I'm not saying it's acceptable, but it does happen. But how do you not even review the play? The man is on the floor, sitting on the floor, and there's no review, even though he was hit in the face, which typically will invoke a review to see what happened and whether or not it's a flagrant. Because if it is a flagrant one or flagrant two, we get foul shots and the ball. And in a close game the way that it was, it changes the trajectory, gives West Virginia a little bit of a cushion, gives them a situation in which they can overcome without their leading scorer, Tash Sherman, who had 29. So I'm not going to blame the refs because ultimately West Virginia should have been able to win that no matter what. But they didn't have a little to do with it.
Yeah, I think they had a lot to do with it. Now, here's the funny thing. Bobby Huggins talks about go back and look at the film. You know what I didn't do? Go back and look at the film. You know what a lot of people in West Virginia didn't do? Go back and look at the film. But you know what everybody's going to be saying? The thing Bobby Huggins said in his press conference, that there's a reason why they didn't get rebounds. Now, I'm trusting his analytics quickly after the game. And I believe him when he says it, because why would you say it if it wasn't on film? I think it had a lot to do with the Baylor loss. Does it have anything to do with the six losses before that? No. Maybe one of the games. But when you're on a seven-game losing streak, one of the seven, I'm sorry. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, no, no. It has a lot to do with Baylor. I mean, a lot to do with the refs for the seventh game. But you're on a seven-game losing streak. So there's a lot more going on than just the refs, you know, pulling for the other Big 12 teams.
Number three. Jarrett Parker moving on has you feeling blank.
Jarrett Parker moving on has me feeling like everything has come to fruition. We needed a change. Neil Brown should not be calling plays, and Jarrett Parker had no business being the offensive coordinator. It was clear because
gonna
we couldn't make score.
Change.
You got that right.
Once in my life.
Go ahead. Sing it, Michael. Yeah, right? No, without question. Somebody had to look at the man in the mirror and say, this is not working. And when you hire Graham Harrell, and that's a home run hire by all accounts, somebody was going to be the odd man out. And that somebody was Jarrett Parker. So everything has come to fruition. I feel like everything has come to fruition. That's how it's got me feeling about the boys in Morgantown. I'm ready for everybody to get going. Best wishes to Jarrett Parker at Notre Dame as a tight ends coach. Get that money, get that prestige. Hopefully you can take the next step in your career.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Now, saying that, it sounds like it's random, but it's not. The Mo was on purpose, and the Mo landed on Mo Jared Parker. Eeny, meeny, goochalini, wah, wah, suvili, achibadi, deliverachi, out goes Y-O Jared Parker, okay? Engine number 9, coming down Chicago line. If the train goes off the track,
pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
And out goes Jared Parker. The answer's the same. I don't care what song you're singing, what thing that you did when you were growing up. Man, 6 points in the bowl game? This offense was atrocious. So him leaving, I don't care. I don't care. I appreciate what you did for West Virginia, but you, a.k.a. Jeff Mullins, hey, I see you in the breeze, baby. I'm ready for this new age, and I'm ready for this new competition.
We got to give a shout-out to Herd Hater. If you're going to call him Jeff Mullen, the first person to call him Jeff Mullen was Herd Hater. He was the first person to say, this is Jeff Mullen.
Herd Hater.
Herd Hater called it early. He called it often. And ultimately, it means Jared Parker's out of a job.
Number 4. Tshiebwe, being touted as the player of the year, has you feeling blank.
I'm happy for Oscar Tshiebwe. It makes me feel happy. I can't deny it. It makes me feel happy. Not because I'm happy that he's at Kentucky, not because I root for the Wildcats, but because I feel like Oscar Tshiebwe is a genuinely good person. And he works really hard. And everything that he's doing is coming to a head in a positive manner down in Lexington. Now, do I wish he did that in Morgantown? Yes. Do I wish it would have worked out for him and Bobby Huggins? Of course. But it makes me happy that a good person is having success.
I feel like my name should be Escape, or his name should be Escape, because he's off the hook.
Yep.
He got out. It makes me feel ashamed, man. He's the one that got away. I think of all these love stories that are talking about, you know, people that you miss. If you're calling about my heart, it's still yours. You know, whatever, you know, love song of the girl got away that should have been with you. Like, literally, I see him. And I know it's some people feel like once a Mountaineer, always a Mountaineer. That's not true, because he's not always a Mountaineer, because he left for Kentucky. But when I see him, I still feel like he's a Mountaineer. And every time I see him, I just... You know, I feel like Blake Shelton in the maybe she wouldn't be gone. Maybe she wouldn't be gone. I don't know, man. It's just I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's doing his thing. He moved on. We've moved on. But in the same breath, I do think of him as a Mountaineer, even though he's not. And so it hurts my feelings, man. It hurts. I'll be honest with you.
Number 5, and this is a question. Are you optimistic about the football season?
Optimistic is the wrong word. No, I'm not optimistic. But I'm also not pessimistic. I'm very interested. I'm interested in the QB battle. I'm interested in the offensive coordinator. I'm interested in Josh Chandler and Dante Stills coming back. I'm interested to see if we can get a kicker who can put the ball in the end zone. There's so much that is going to be going on, including in the secondary, including when they fill the last 7 scholarships, which will go down to the wire probably all the way into August. There's so much about this football team that I'm interested in. Optimistic? Not so much. But like I said, I'm not pessimistic. I'm just kind of neutral, but very interested.
Yeah, I got to answer them for your word. It's the exact word. In your word, you're interested with an I, and I'm uninterested. Okay? Now, everybody, you and everybody else are going to come at me talking about, yeah, you'll be interested by the time next year comes around. Yeah, you might be right. But right now, I don't care who signs. Hey, shout out Bryson Singer, other than Bryson Singer from Parkersburg, who did sign with West Virginia. But other than that, I don't care who signs. I don't care about the spring. I don't care about most of the early fall. I care about September. And when this game comes, and when it comes around, hopefully I'll really care. But right now, I'm beaten. I'm broken down. I've been beaten and battered in my sports life. I'm so sick, not only of West Virginia everything, I'm so sick of sports in general. I'm tired. I'm defeated. I'm sure by the time September comes around, I'll be ready again. But right now, I'm uninterested. Anyway, that's all I got. I'm pretty sure that's all Brandon has. Why?
That's all we got.
We got five questions. We hit you with the five answers. Hey, man, we're ready to go in about how we really feel about all these things going on. Hit us with it, Jay.
Rack me, boys!
I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in.
Take the bass line out. Uh-huh. Jiggle. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let it bump.
No truer words, man. We going in because it's a hard knock life. Hey, Big 12, instead of treated, Brady, you know what we get?
Tricked.
Instead of kisses,
we get kicked.
And Taz, to be specific, got punched in the dome. Concussed. Will Smith, where you at? Did you see that, Brandon?
Yes. Now, I will say it was an open hand. It was not a closed fist. It was not intentional. It was unintentional. But regardless of whether it's intentional or not, a hit to the face is a flagrant foul, and it should have been called as such.
Yeah.
Taz sat on that floor, and nobody stopped to figure out what was going on, to assess it, to review it. Pathetic. It's terrible, but it's completely on brand for the Big 12 refs, especially John Higgins when he's reffing against WVU.
I
said against WVU.
JH, man. And here's the thing, like, ain't no way to put it. Huggins was mad. He wasn't trying to get fined, you know? He showed up so he didn't get fined, but man was mad. He talked about that. He also brought up the rebounding things. Like, everybody said, hey, we got out-rebounded so bad. And he's like, I watched the film. Which is kind of interesting to me, because how could you watch all the film and see everything you needed to see within, like, 5 minutes? Because the recording happened right after the game. But okay.
Exactly.
I watched the film. So he talked about he watched the film. So I guess he's alleging, because I didn't watch it. I mean, I'll go to bat for him, and I'll point in everybody's faces, even though it doesn't matter that we got ripped off. But
it does not matter at all. That's what I wanted to say. The main thing about all of this is it doesn't matter what Huggins says. It doesn't matter what actually happened. All that anybody remembers is who won and who lost. And people barely remember that. They look at your resume,
Brandon,
come
Brandon.
Tournament time.
Amen. And in the words of Lauryn Hill, don't even matter if my boss should call. Because nothing, it don't matter at all.
Yeah.
Wins and losses. That's it. That's it. You can get as mad as you want, but it is what it is. What do you want? You want a letter saying they were wrong? That doesn't help you get in the tournament.
Nope.
Bottom line, wins and losses. But on top of that, okay, so they kept holding us on rebounds. Taz got
pushing too.
Taz got concussed, didn't get called. But that's one out of the last six games. We've lost six in a row. What's your excuse for the other five? That's the reason why, even in football, I always say you have to win the games that you can win. And in this particular circumstances, we've lost six straight. So for me, there's no real excuses. Okay, maybe there's an excuse for this one. Maybe there's an excuse for last one. But six in a row?
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
That's why you have to look at the man in the mirror. That's why I sang it earlier. The man in the mirror.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree totally. Lack of intensity, a lack of focus is why we lost to Oklahoma early on. Some games we were just outmanned. We were just out talented. But playing against Baylor without two of their top three scorers, I did not feel like they were that much more talented than us. Meyer came on late. Meyer is the guy with the mullet, in case you're wondering. And we just didn't have an answer for him. We didn't put a body on him. And even though he pushed in the back on Sean McNeil on a crucial rebound, Sean McNeil didn't put a body on him, which would have kept him from being able to get that rebound. So, you know, there are things we could have done better. John Flowers actually tweeted about that on Twitter. He's like, do the little thing.
Absolutely.
When it comes from a guy who's been to the Final Four, when it comes to a guy who actually played and is playing professionally for a long time, then you get a mindset. You get the mindset, because Alex Ruoff said the same thing. He felt conflicted at the end of the game. There were things that weren't called right, but there were little things that West Virginia did not do. And that's been the story of the season. What I did like and appreciate was we did not stop fighting. We gave it our all.
And that's a big thing. I get down on West Virginia. I feel the way that I feel that I'm going to bring up here in a few minutes. But they're fighting. These kids are playing hard. They're not very good. That's why we're losing. But they're giving everything they have to West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else can you ask? What more can I say? What more can you do? They're giving their all. It's just not good enough. But I respect the fight and the heart and the will, because they're playing against top-notch talent and they are not backing down. And I love that fact of it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I'm going to say this before we continue on. The Mountaineers are in a special position. We're 13-8 right now. Not special position. We're so hard on the bubble, it's not even funny. We got 9 games left. 4 against ranked, unranked teams and 5 against ranked teams. This is where you have to win the games you should. And I'm not saying we should win all those unranked teams. I'm saying if you want to make it in the tournament, baby boy, you better. We better go 5-4 in the last 9, beating 4 unranked teams, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and TCU, which are all, none of those are gimmies, and pull off some kind of crazy upset and go 5-4 and finish year 18-12. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No. But even if it does, we're still in the bubble. We're not guaranteed. So like I said earlier on WTAP with Zach and Phillip, is we're not in, but we're also not out. We have 9 games. And as hard as last game was, as much as Huggins felt we got cheated and the rest of West Virginia, the whole Mountain State feels that way, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You got 9 games left. Go prove it, baby. Go get your tournament bid.
I do want to address one thing Huggins said, which was, why do things like this always seem to happen to us? Talking about Taz getting knocked out in a all-time performance for him, career-high 29 points, few minutes left to go in the game, and he gets literally concussed and knocked out of the game, and there's no call. There's nothing to make up for the fact that he's concussed and out of the game. Why does this always happen to us? And I tweeted when somebody, one of the reporters, I think it was Skylar Callahan, tweeted out Bob Huggins' comments. I quoted it and said every Mountaineer fan ever, why does this always happen to us? In the words of Jeremy Phoenix, why is it always my team?
Always my team.
And it's so true. And like the fact that Bob Huggins recognized it or feels it, you know, remind you, harkens back to the 35-2 free throw game.
But here's the truth, Brandon. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of sports. I'm not sick of Joe Burrow beating the Chiefs. My pops rooted for the Chiefs, so I kind of root for the Chiefs. I wanted to see him win. And I don't hate Joe Burrow. I don't disparage Joe Burrow. I don't disparage the Cincinnati Bengals. But this sports world has beaten me down, Brandon. They've taken my joy. The joy of watching sports. The joy of being happy for new winners. Cincinnati's 10-7, and they're having a Cinderella story. Why can't we ever have one? Ever, Brandon? My Knicks, never. Patrick Ewing beating the Bulls, never. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. And like that combined with West Virginia losing so much and the bowl games, I'm just sick of it. And I've become a jealous hater, something I never thought I would ever become, even though I should have saw it. Something that I never thought I'd become. And right now, I'm not mad at Cincinnati. I'm just a hater. I'm jealous. Why can't it be us? We're a small school in a small state. And small schools from small states, or not even small states, but teams that aren't blue bloods, never like build themselves up to be something dominant who can recruit 5 stars. Oh, wait a minute. Gonzaga does that. They haven't won it yet, but yes, they are looked at as a big boy. A team that plays all defense. Look at Brandon. Look at Virginia. Virginia is our twin. They got one.
I hate Virginia basketball. It is so ugly. It's so boring.
Yes. I'm looking at Toronto, who should have never beat Golden State, but there's injuries. And I know you say, we don't want injuries. Yes, we do if we're going to win. Because our quarterback, Major Harris, got hurt in 1989, and Notre Dame won because of it. The Eagles. Nobody picked the Eagles to win. They go on this majestic run. Georgia this year. Alabama's whole team had to be hurt for them to go through. I'm just saying, I'm not hating on these teams. I'm saying I'm sick. Why can't we be the Cinderella? George Mason? Brandon, before you say anything, Brandon, do you remember George Mason? You remember watching that game at Heath's house? Everybody in the room rooting for George Mason. I decided to pick the favorites. I was about to say overdogs. The favorites. And George Mason knocks them off. I guess the best way I can put it, and the cleanest way I can put it, is I'm just so tired of getting promiscuous up with no ointment. Okay? I'm so sick of it.
I know. You did not just... Tell him how you really feel. Tell him how you really feel, son.
That's the best I can do. That's the best I can do. I thought about it long and hard how I could put that the best way I could.
I feel like you could have done better, but okay. So let's move on.
I'm serious, though. I just feel like I'm just, dear Lord, my cup has runneth over. Like, I'm done. I'm done, Brandon. I'm done.
Did you see Les Miles dancing up on that recruit?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Did you see what happened today?
Yeah. Roll Tide. What?
Roll Tide. That recruit signed with Alabama. And Brian Kelly debased himself for no reason, and I love it. I love it so much. The other thing I love... Go ahead.
I'll be honest. I feel like Brian Kelly kind of reminds me a little bit of J. Edgar Hoover. But anyway. No, he's just very a staunch guy. That's what I'll talk about, how staunch he is. That's what I'll talk about. But anyways, go ahead.
Lincoln Riley gets Caleb Williams, the number one recruit in the transfer portal, the number one student athlete in the transfer portal. And then says that there needs to be a reevaluation, possibly some adjustments to the transfer portal because it's hard on coaches, it's hard on players, it's hard on schools. What do you think about him saying that?
People are going to jockey for whatever they can for their own positions. People are self-interested most of all, and this sounds about right. I don't know what he's jockeying for, but whatever it is, I'm sure it's for his own self-interest. This transfer portal is not going away. It's here. He's benefited from it, but obviously he sees some way he won't benefit from it. So that's why he says it. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Honestly, I don't care. I just want to win. But actually, I don't want to win because I don't care about sports anymore. But go ahead.
What I love is Nick Saban. Every time Nick Saban has warned about whatever trend is happening in college football, people always said, oh, Nick Saban, the game's passing him by. He's afraid he's going to lose. But really, Nick Saban wasn't warning you to warn, you know, like as he was just afraid of the perils. He's warning them because he's going to use it to his advantage and take over, like always.
Yep.
So he warned about the spread offense. He warned about the hurry-up spread offenses. He warned about transfer portal. And here he warned about NIL. Name, image, and likeness. And so far, each of those things he's used to his advantage, and he's still king of the crop. Now, they lost to Georgia this year, but again, they were in the national championship game. I believe he's averaged 13 wins a season over the last decade or something like that, something crazy like that, when you're only guaranteed 12 games to play.
That's right.
It's just insane. So when Nick Saban says a warning, I tend to believe it. When, as the Oklahoma fans call Lincoln Riley, TBOW, says it, It just sounds disingenuous.
By the way, what's that for? I saw that, and you said, I think it's hilarious, and I couldn't figure it out.
Let's say that boy out west.
I thought it was like Tebow.
No.
Tebow.
For the sake of our family-friendly show, we'll say that boy out west. But that's what the Oklahoma fans call him. It just seems disingenuous to me, and I don't know what his angle is. Like you said, it's for his own empowerment, I'm sure. It's not because he genuinely cares about college football.
It's so funny they said TBOW, that boy out west, when really they have nothing to focus on but them boys from the South.
Guy goes in their mouth.
You know?
Yeah.
like, trust me, you got bigger problems, boo-boo, okay?
No, but I'm telling you, Oklahoma's in their feelings about Lincoln Riley, and they want to bend over backwards to make it clear that they're not in their feelings, but they are in their feelings when it comes to Lincoln Riley, when it comes to Caleb Williams. Yeah. They are all in their feelings.
I mean, it's the first time it's ever happened to them, but by the way, you know what song came on? You said, the boys from South get goals in their mouth. You know what? Maybe start thinking.
What?
Remember in high school? I don't know what you've been told.
I don't know what you've been told.
No, yeah. Living so much came to rock and roll.
Yeah, forgot all about that till you said that.
That was the anthem back in the day. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
I'm done with that part. I want to talk about the controversy in the NFL with Brian Flores.
All right, son.
Flores was the coach of the Miami Dolphins. Two back-to-back winning seasons. Gets fired because they said that he was difficult to work with, that he did not get along with the quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. It seemed ridiculous at the time that he was getting fired, having put together two back-to-back winning seasons, including sweeping the Patriots. But now Brian Flores alleges that he was offered $100,000 per loss to tank. Brian Flores alleges that he was fired because of racism and that he was not given the same opportunities during interviews and during evaluations as a coach as other coaches because of his skin color. Jeremy, what do you make of these allegations?
How going to be?
Yeah.
I feel like you wanted to talk about this. You told me you want to talk about it.
I'll tell you, my thought is, let's pass.
You said you want to talk about this. You asked me what I think, and it's very simple. It's three letters: D-U-H. Duh. No, yeah. this is one of them things where people won't understand or won't get. But if you're a minority, it's very obvious. Take basketball, football, baseball, and hockey. How many owners of these teams do you have that are minorities? And
yeah.
And then you also look at the age and the race of these owners. They're all rich white Caucasian guys. So it feels like a good old boys league, and that's what he's saying. You have an NFL that's 70% black, and you have one coach.
Well, almost 56% black.
Okay,
players,
and you have one coach that's black in the NFL.
One.
I'm not saying they all should be.
One out of 32.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. One. And I'm not saying they all should be. I'm not saying half of them should be. I'm saying there should be more than one. And if you don't see that, and you don't see that that's a problem, that's because it doesn't affect you or your people. But, you know, that's how I feel. And I don't even feel like the need to talk about this because, you know, if you listen to ESPN and everybody else, people who have played, people who have been coaches, people who have done great things in the NFL, this is known. They already know this. Like, this is becoming public now, but people know this. You know this. I know this. Everybody know this. We're saying something that's not known. It does need to change, but how do you change billionaires' mind who control everything?
Yeah, and like one of the things I find interesting about this is a lot of people think when you say that this is that there's a problem, that there's a racial problem when it comes to leadership in the NFL. Not because obviously somebody's like, how can this? I saw somebody on Facebook say, how can these owners be racist if they're employing black players? And like I said, there's a very big difference between employees and hiring people to be in leadership positions, like general managers, executives, coaches. That's a very big difference. Because what you're expecting is a different skill set. And what happens a lot of times is there are people who do not believe that minorities have the ability cognitively to make the kinds of decisions and to do the kinds of things that leaders need to do in order to be employed.
Hold up. I need to say this. People think sometimes from our day perspective, most of these owners are like 70 years old.
Or older.
So you go back from 70 years from now. 70 years from now is what?
1952.
Meaning they grew up in the 60s. And who were they raised by? Their parents who were raised in the 20s or the 30s. So what did they grow up? How were they raised? What were they raised in?
One of the things I'm going to say is I don't think that these owners are sitting around saying, we don't want to hire black people. I don't believe that. I don't think they're sitting around at all saying, we don't want to hire black coaches. But what I do think happens is people tend to hire, and I don't care what race you are, I don't care what gender you are, people tend to hire people that look like them and act like them and remind them of themselves. So if all of your owners and all of your leadership come from the same background, you're going to get the same people. The other thing that people do is they hire their friends and their family.
Which makes sense.
And if I was ever in a good situation, I would hire my friends and family. Not because I'm racist. Because those are the people
you know and you trust.
Those are the people I know and I trust. But the problem is when you run corporations is you don't get the best candidates when you hire that way. When you have practices that way that exclude people, not because you don't like them necessarily, but because you never even give them a chance. So when you look at Brian Flores, the Giants were going to interview Brian Flores, but they decided to hire Brian Daboll before they even interviewed Brian Flores. So how do you know Brian Flores isn't qualified? How do you know Brian Flores isn't even more blow away than Brian Daboll was? You don't know because you made your decision before you even gave the man an interview. Now, Eric Bieniemy has a lot of skeletons in his closet from years and years past.
But does Brian Leftwich?
No, I was going to say, so I'm not going to sit here and make a big deal about Eric Bieniemy, but there are several other candidates. Deuce Staley, Byron Leftwich, Jim Caldwell, who did very well in Detroit except for one bad season, who did well with the Colts, who's not been given a chance, a second chance.
I'm sorry, by the way, I don't know a lot about Jim Caldwell, but I call him Sleepy C.
No, that's why. That's why people look at him and his demeanor, and then you don't give him an opportunity. You give him a chance because he's not young and dynamic, and the other things that people are looking for. When that's not necessarily what wins, why don't you look at somebody who's actually won? I'm not quick to call the NFL racist. I'm not one of those people who's like, "Oh, that guy's racist." I'm not saying that, but you don't have to be racist for your policies or for your actions to promote racism. Meaning you exclude groups of people.
Whether
intentionally or unintentionally. And I think that's what happens. My good example of that is you look at Adam Sandler, right? Who does Adam Sandler have in all of his movies?
Same dudes.
The same dudes. Why? Because those are his friends. So if you're the same as Adam Sandler and you own a football team or you're the general manager of a football team or you're some executive of operations for a football team, it's going to be the same problem. You're going to hire people that you know, that you've coached with, that you've worked with, and then that excludes other people from ever having a chance to prove themselves. And that's all I'm saying. Like, I think what people are saying more than anything else is just give everyone a chance. And Brian Flores is highlighting the fact that he's not been given a chance, that more than, you know, he wasn't given a fair shake in Miami. And then when he lost that job, he wasn't given a fair shake to pick up another job. You look at Josh McDaniels, they have no trouble picking him back up at another organization. I think about Wade Phillips, how many times he was picked up, even though Wade Phillips never won nothing.
And it's garbage. Who was Jeff Fisher? Jeff Fisher is the perfect example of hot. When I talk about, what are we talking about? Like 1,000 scorpion, whatever they call the jalapeno peppers, whatever score they're talking about. That's how much garbage Jeff Fisher was. Go look at his record, and yet he still kept getting on.
Yeah. So that's my thing. Is like John Thompson brought this up. He was like, for a lot of times for black coaches to get picked up or to be chosen, they have to be the cream of the crop. And he's like, why can't we just be ordinary? He's like, why can't I just be ordinary? Why do they have to be John Thompson? Why do they have to be John Chaney? Why can't they just be a mediocre coach and still get the job? Why does it have to be above and beyond? And so that's all I think. I think Brian Flores' career is over in the NFL. He's done.
You think?
Hold up.
You said you think.
No, I know.
I promise you, the very first thing I heard is I heard he's bringing a lawsuit. I said, yep, he's done.
He's done.
Him and Colin Kaepernick are going to be making shoes. All right. I can't wait for the new Nike Flores.
But I also believe strongly that they're going to settle this out. Brian Flores is going to get paid.
Yes, he is. But getting paid is not fixing the problem, right?
Exactly. Getting paid is not fixing the problem unless they come up with a settlement that includes changes to the system, the way that people are hired. The Rooney Rule clearly is not working.
I know, but the truth is I can't wait for the Nike Air Floreses. I'll be real.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I just thought it was an interesting thing. Last, Jim Harbaugh interviewed with the Minnesota Vikings, decided he's going back to Michigan. What do you make of that, Jeremy?
Yeah, it's par for course. Like, that's like, he wasn't going nowhere. It's all about that, you know, all about that money. Money, power, respect. Money, power, respect. He was tired of being disrespected by Michigan. They disrespected him, making him take a lesser cut. Went to the national championship. He said, look, you get that money up, you get that money up now. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, I agree. I also think he's got unfinished business at Michigan. He did finally win the Big Ten, but Michigan wants to win national championships. They got closer by getting into the playoffs, but they really weren't close because they got embarrassed when they got there. So we'll see what happens. But that's all I got for this episode, Jay.
That's all I got too, man. I think it was a good episode. I can't wait till next week, man. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. Get in about the Chiefs. I'm about to go back in my shell. Cincinnati, the Cincinnati's versus the St. Louis Rams. Brandon, what was the touchdown dance that they did?
The Gritty.
Is that what it was called? Because Atlanta did the Dirty Bird. The Gritty. All right.
Cincinnati is the Gritty.
All right, so we'll see. We'll see what's popping. We're ready for next week. RBK, Jeremy, I also hate Pitt. We in the building. Get at us.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.